Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Jester. With me, as always, Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
I guess it's rolling well. How am I supposed to respond to that? I never know.
I don't know. Happy Passover. How's your Passover? How's your matzah consumption?
You know what? The thing with matzah is, like, I don't like it, but if it's there, I'll keep eating it. You don't feel it.
Yeah.
So, like, today, I just, like, every time I went to the kitchen, I took, like, a giant piece of, like, the big shmur matzah, like, the big circle
you
one.
You just eat matzah by itself? You don't eat it with cheese or whatever?
I do, but I also eat it by itself. Like, as a snack, I'll eat, like, five pieces by itself.
Yeah. A lot of carbs involved there. A lot of constipation also.
All diets start after Passover. Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah. I'm gaining weight at a prodigious rate here. I'm on one of these Passover programs, like these, you know, all-inclusive resort hotel situations.
Yeah, so it's all you could eat?
Yeah, and the food is, you know, over the top. There's like 17 different desserts at every meal. Like,
the problem with those things is they end up, by like the fourth day, you sort of seen everything they could throw at you, I think. And then you're just sort of eating the same thing, like, by like the last couple days. Do you find that to be the case?
I mean, it's really good food, so I won't complain. You know.
Right, no, it's definitely good, but it's like, you get the duck and you're really excited the first night for the duck, but then it's like, you have the duck every night.
I prefer the dairy meals. My whole family is disappointed for, like, the best thing is the breakfast. The breakfasts are over the top insane.
Yeah, breakfasts are over the top, and those are
great. We're not meat eaters here. Here's a hot take for you. So I don't think I had ever eaten an omelet in my life. I don't think I was aware of an omelet because, like, we didn't have eggs in my house growing up. And so we went on, like, one of these Passover trips to Hawaii.
Well, how old were you when you were not aware of an omelet?
Well, I'm telling you. So when I was like 12 years old, we went to Hawaii for Passover. We ended up going 4 years in a row. And like the first day, the first morning there at breakfast, they had an omelet station as these events tend to do. And it blew my mind. And so I had like literally four or five omelets every single day for a week. And I became obsessed with them, basically.
Yeah, I was aware of omelets and I still have four or five omelets every time I go to an omelet station.
Yeah, omelet stations are fantastic.
Yeah, I went away.
We strung for one of our kids' brises.
Yeah, it's always worth it. Everyone goes home happy if you spring for the omelet station.
Exactly. And
I did not.
It was like, I think it was like $3 extra per person, and we told them 50 people were coming. So it was like $150, which is, first of all, my parents were paying for it and my in-laws, so it was no money out of my pocket.
Right, yeah,
but
same here.
$75 a pop for the parents, and you're right. You have an omelet station, everybody's happy.
Yeah, my problem is I don't do it I wouldn't do it at my thing anyway because, like, I'm too busy. I get one omelet. I'm not paying for that.
Oh, at your own kid's bris, you're saying?
Yeah, like, I'm going to eat at your, you know, at someone else's.
Yeah.
If we went to, we never went to, I've never been to Hawaii, but we went to Aruba and the Bahamas in back-to-back years for those Passover programs.
Pretty fancy. Was your dad like a featured guest speaker kind of thing? Or are you guys?
No, it's customers? Funny he wasn't. I mean, also back then he was like 30, you know, like he was... So like
Wait, did he
now
also have kids at an absurdly young age like you did?
Yes, but not nearly as young as me because nobody.
So was your dad a grandfather in his 40s?
My mom was. My dad also was. Yeah, my mom was like 44. My dad was 47 or something, 45 and 47.
Okay.
But I'm much younger.
Boy, good job by those Wienerkers. Fast reproduction.
You know, but it's funny he wasn't, and he would go actually because he's a CPA and it was tax season. He would go home after like the first part of the holiday. He would actually leave because like he would have to go work. It would be like, you know, early April or mid April.
Yeah, two generations in 44 years. That's pretty. I don't know if any of your ancestors or relatives perished in Holocaust centers, but if they did, you're really getting one up on Hitler with this reproduction.
Yeah, way to bring up like, you know, something positive. You know,
I'm trying to be
so
timely.
I remember what I seem to remember watching the draft at like either the 91 or 92 or 93 NFL draft at one of those hotels, either in Aruba or the Bahamas, like on ESPN there. In my head, it was the draft where Steve Entman went first and Quinton Coryat went second, that the Colts had the first two picks. But, you know, Wikipedia says that draft was on the 26th and 27th, so...
So I have so many great NFL draft memories from that. So again, I also grew up, remember, I grew up with no cable television, right?
Yeah.
So the only time I ever saw ESPN was on these trips, and I'd watch SportsCenter like around the clock, and the NFL draft back then was on ESPN. The first day of the draft was always Saturday. And so
if you're a kid, vacation, like, you'd be happy just going on vacation and watching. Like, we're going to Cancun this summer, and I asked my son, like, what are we doing there this week? And he's like, watching TV in the room.
Yeah. Oh, did I tell you, I don't know if I've told you this before, but the first time I went on one of those programs, I ordered an adult movie to my room.
Well, how old were you?
Like 12. So but here's how you know I was 12 and not like 15, and that like my curiosity was more than my like my horniness, because I ordered Women in Black because I liked the movie Men in Black a lot and the song, and the synopsis was like, there's a bunch of secret aliens all over the world, and the only way to stop them is for women to have sex with them, or something like that.
Yeah.
And I just remember it was like absurdly stupid and like absurdly low tech. It was
and bad. You never own your own room. Like, who are you watching this with, Sammy?
So I'm sharing a room with my whole family. And so when we left the hotel at the end of the trip, but these things are always tastefully done. So on the bill, all it says is like film/video game, but it doesn't say the title, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But as we're checking out at the hotel, like a week later, my dad's going over the bill at the desk. And he's like, oh, it says there's a film here, but we didn't order a film. And then the person behind the counter is like, well, did any of your children possibly? And my dad looks at all us like, did any of you do it? And we're obviously like, no, because even though it's like $6, like our father would kill us for having done that. And so we're like, no, of course not. We would never do that. My dad's like, no, they definitely didn't. And they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll take it off the bill. So I lied. I did multiple sins there, basically.
That's good. I mean, listen, you want to be – but how do you get the room alone? That's like almost a big achievement.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many minutes I was, whatever.
I mean, you guys were all in one room, like six people?
No, it's like a suite. It's like a two-room, you know.
Yeah.
I would imagine, if I recall correctly, I probably watched like 2 minutes of it. I was so nervous that my parents would walk in at any time.
Yeah, you couldn't enjoy it. You have to like double lock the door. We've all been there.
Yeah, and again, I was too young to be enjoying it in that way. It was really more like a you know, excitement, like strangeness, you know.
Yeah, so all of our fun stories are from the early 90s. Did anything happen to you this Passover that's worth repeating?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say about the NFL draft. So I remember 1 year. So the first day was always on Saturday. But yeah. So 1 year, like as soon as Shabbat was over, you know, because we don't watch television on Shabbat. As soon as sundown hit, I raced to my TV. I turn it on. And I remember vividly, Dan Patrick, whoever it was, says, this is 1998. And when we come back, we will review the first 21 picks in the NFL draft again. And the Vikings were at 21. And so as soon as they said that, I'm like, oh, we got Randy Moss. Because I just like, why? That's such an arbitrary cutoff unless the Vikings got somebody really big, you know.
Right.
And because, you know, getting Moss obviously was a transformative event that 98 season.
21, that's pretty good. You ever see the 89 draft, the first five picks?
I don't remember the 89
draft. Aikman, listen to this. It's Aikman, Mandarich. I'm saying the order from memory, but it's Aikman, Mandarich, Barry Sanders, Deion Sanders, and Derek Thomas. I think Derek Thomas is third or fourth, actually.
Yeah, so very impressive.
So now, if you had to do it again, though, and obviously you're like the biggest anti-Aikman guy on the planet.
Not anti-Aikman. The guy, I think he had 26 touchdowns once in his career and 3,200 yards once in his career.
So literally four guys were in the Hall of Fame in the first five picks. Yeah. Four Hall of Famers in the draft, all top five. How would you redraft those four guys?
If Trent Dilfer was on the Cowboys in the 90s, you don't think he'd be in the Hall of Fame?
No, because he's not as good as Aikman.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that he's as good as Aikman. I'm just saying that it was an offense with, like, you know,
Hall of Fame. They still win three? No, because I don't know if they win three Super Bowls, because they had to beat a Super Bowl-caliber team every year.
Yeah, but Aikman did so little, even in the playoffs. You know, he'd pass for, like, 140 yards and a touchdown every game.
I mean, they were a running team, but it wasn't like he was throwing interceptions.
Yeah.
So how would you redraft those guys? So can you make a case for not picking Aikman one?
Oh, there's no. That's what I'm saying. There's no question.
So you're going to pick Aikman four there?
Well, Barry Sanders and Deion Sanders unquestionably go ahead of Aikman.
Right, and those guys were literally in this bracket.
Yeah. Yeah, for greatest American athlete of all time. Yeah, that's correct.
And Derek Thomas, the late Derek Thomas,
yeah,
so he would go third.
Also, like Sanders, his career ends early, but still a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, so but that's an amazing draft.
Think, but, you know, because he got a lot of sacks, which is a flashy statistic, and he was a little one-dimensional. You know, he's a pass rusher. But
right, I mean, they lose the game where he has seven sacks because he doesn't wrap up Dave Craig for the eighth sack.
Yeah.
Like, imagine having, like, seven home runs and not winning a game or seven touchdown passes.
So I think you were referencing before. I'm going to change the subject now. So you're a big fan of the show Review, right?
Yes.
And for those who don't know, the point of Review is that he reviews not films or television shows or restaurants, but life experiences. And usually they're life experiences that nobody else would really want to experience. And so he's sort of taking one for the team.
Right? Yeah, he reviews, right, eating pancakes.
So I have a review for you.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question, Akiva. When is the last time, if ever, that you have gotten into a legitimate fistfight?
Like 7th or 8th grade. One day we were like fighting with kids. They would give like five different classes in junior high school. We had one gym, so when it was like too cold to go outside, there would be like five different gym classes going on at the same time. So you'd be running down the court, going for a layup, and you get hit in the head with a basketball or a football or like a frisbee. It was insane. And sometimes there would be like, you know, overlap. You like your rabbi would let you stay longer, and so like there would be like the next group of kids would have come in. So then you'd have to like run around second graders and not step on them.
Yeah.
So one time, like we had a fight over like a ball with. Like the kids a year younger than us, and then the next day we knew like we were gonna tussle, and then I sort of started a fight with them. But our rabbi like called the kids in right before it happened, so I was like left alone, and so I did not get the best of that one. So that was the last fight I was ever in.
Because you're outnumbered, you're saying.
Yeah, we like normally we were like destroyed those fights, but it was me against like 10 kids, so they like held me down.
Right. Yeah. So I was gonna say, you know, like you, I am a wimpy Jew. I'm I have a big mouth but small fists. Is a one way to describe me. So I don't think I've ever punched somebody, you know, with intent to harm in my entire life. Quite possibly.
I mean, I definitely did in elementary school. I certainly have not since then.
Yeah, maybe when I was a little kid, but you know, not since I hit puberty for sure. And that all changed last week. I punched somebody in the skull as hard as I possibly could.
Why?
And I why? All right, I'm debating how much of this to share on the podcast and how much to tell you offline. I'm going to summarize.
We're not online because you're talking to me on a phone.
Yeah, I'm going to leave our listeners wanting more. A crazy person attacked my child.
Oh, my God.
Physically attacked my child. I ran into a crazy person on the main streets of Jerusalem, and I went into, like, insane dad mode. You know, like, dad strength is a real thing because I ran up to this guy when he touched my child with a...
And was it clearly a mentally ill person?
Well, we can discuss that part off the air.
Oh, okay. I hear you. We're gonna stay around a very thorny third rail here. Okay.
Yeah, but it was a I will say this: any adult man who harms a 2-year-old child has to have some level of.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, so I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
So I ran at this person and I punched him as hard as I possibly.
Wait, what did he try and do? What did he try and do to your son? I don't understand.
He cursed at my child, and then he took my child, and he sort of grabbed him and threw him on the ground.
He was in a stroller?
No, he was, like, just standing there, and he just picked him
and
up.
And he just, like, pushed him on the ground or picked him up and threw him on the ground.
And I don't think my son was too hurt, but it was the intent that got me more than anything else.
Sure. You know? Yeah, no, this view, so far you're very much in the right here. So yeah. you punched him in the head.
So I ran at him, and I punched him as hard as I possibly could in the head.
Did you knock him down?
Well, I did, but skulls are very hard things. I think
yeah, you're not trying to hit the skull. You're trying to hit, like, the front of the face, like an eye, maybe. I don't know exactly where to...
Well, so, yeah, I'm saying if I was reviewing this review style, I'm going to give it half a star for two reasons. So, first of all, it's a week later, and I should take a picture and post it. My left hand looks like a purple catcher's mitt. My hand is in tremendous pain.
You're going to win a lot of fans. There's going to be a lot of people on Team Chester, because even after people emailed and said, like, you were the heel of the podcast until... The famous story about the birthday party and the truck, and people felt so bad for your son that they really didn't
stand up for my son enough. Whereas this time I definitely
right, but also then it was like the wrong was very minor.
Yeah.
Well, here it's like you actually were right.
Yeah. So first of all, my hand is like in tremendous pain. It's all purple. You know, I don't know if I gave this guy a concussion, but that's number two. Number two is because I'm such a wuss. Even though he attempted or in fact did harm my child. I immediately felt guilty, and I almost wanted to, like, apologize to him, even though he was clearly wrong, just because, like, in hindsight, what I should have done is taken my child and got out of the situation, especially if somebody's going to harm a child, who knows what they're going to do, right?
Right.
But it was, like, it was just an emotional reaction.
It's so fast. It's hard to – and then what – so then was he on the ground?
Yeah. So then he like, attacked me, right?
Oh, my God. And is this, like, a populated street? Like, are people watching this?
There were some people around, yeah.
I'm surprised nobody shot him. I mean, people are walking around Jerusalem carrying.
Yeah, there was nobody armed. So he hit me. And I'll say this. He was – and this is why I think dad strength played
dad
a role.
Dad strength.
Because he – I mean, he was shorter than me, but he, you know, he definitely – if we were in a gym, like if we were both at the combine, he would get a higher score than me because he was definitely much more muscular.
On the Wonderlic, you mean.
Yeah. Well, I'm punching people in the skull, so obviously I'm not too
smart. You think his mom was a prostitute?
I hope not, but I can explain why off the air also. But anyway, so he was probably stronger than me, like, you know, if we were lifting weights. But so he hits me a couple times with this lamp, and I, like, wrestle it out of his hands, And then I hit him back with it a couple times.
Nice. Where's your son at this point? He's got to be, like, hysterical.
My son is crying, yeah. But he's, like...
And are you with your wife, or is it just you and, like, one kid?
No, my wife was not there. I had some siblings. I had some other people around, but my wife was not there.
So why didn't they get involved in the fight? I feel like a two-on-one, it's...
Well, it ended pretty quickly after that. So then I hit him, and then he sort of, like, retreated a little bit, and then I took my kid and got the hell out of there, basically.
Oh, my God. And you didn't tell the police?
No, well, when you're punching people in the head, you don't want to involve the police. I don't know. My goal was to protect my son, and then you know, I don't know.
So, okay.
Also, I you know, snitches get stitches, so. We're in those okay. Snitches podcast, aren't we? Or is that just your side for the podcast?
No, we're a pro-steroids podcast.
Yeah, oh, pro-steroids. Yeah, so that happened. Yeah, so now my hand is throbbing, and I'm saying, in hindsight, that's crazy. I should take my kid and got out of there. Not just to protect my hand, but also, you know, who knows what could have happened.
I mean, it's a city like that. Didn't the mayor like tackle like a terrorist like a year ago or something in the city?
Yeah, if you're Cory Booker or Nirbar Khat, you become like a hero for, you know, saving people jumping out of, you know, windows or whatever. Didn't A-Rod once save some kid who was like in the middle of a street in Boston or something?
I didn't know that. Do you remember Vince Coleman threw fireworks at a kid?
Yeah, that's a little bit of the. I did not punch Vince Coleman, but if had I been there and it was my kid, maybe I would have.
I feel like we both have to start working out to like protect our kids.
Yeah, it's, you know, my wife has been accosted a few times on the subway in my presence.
Mm-hmm. Accosted or like whistled at?
Well, okay. So one time, I think I might have told this on the podcast. One time we were hugging each other like on the subway platform.
That's weird. Yeah.
And this homeless guy who looked like Willie Nelson, like a very, very, very poor, literally a homeless man's Willie Nelson. Mm-hmm. Started screaming at us, "That's disgusting." I mean, we were literally just like holding each other. We weren't doing anything.
I know this. I mean, obviously this guy is correct. Yeah.
and then he ran up to us and spit at us, which I guess technically is assault, but but then the other time, which is the funnier time, is we were on a very crowded subway train and a portly female started yelling at my wife and calling her a white devil and a white bitch.
Mm.
And then she said, "You want to go to war?" She
probably
we'll
listens
go
to the
war.
Podcast.
And yeah, and it was, and, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, I don't know what this woman was intending to do to my wife, but I'm not, you know, I'm trying to defend my wife. I'm also not gonna hit some woman, so I
right,
was just
no.
sort of, I was trying to stand in between her and my wife, but also try not to laugh because it was like it was so absurd because like she kept yelling at my wife, like my wife had done literally nothing, you know.
Do you think your wife could have taken her if like need be?
No, first of all, definitely not, and second of all, no. I will not deny that I may in my life have referred to my wife as a white bitch.
No, for sure. No, these people just like, they're all podcast listeners.
I don't know if I've called her white, although, and to be clear, I'm not implying anything about the race of the other person here because my wife is literally the lightest skinned person on earth. Like, she's clear. So she's white. You know, anybody would consider her white.
Sure.
Yeah. But so things like that have happened, but I've never had to stand up for her honor in an actual way. And so, you know, here I did for my child, so proud of myself. Although my hand still hurts.
All right, I mean, that's a crazy story. I feel like, where do we go from there?
Yeah, there's more to the story, but I'll have to tell you that part off the air.
All right, maybe for, like, if we have, like, a premium level of listenership, they could like, get the story.
Yeah, for the people who are paying for premium membership.
On, like, the Patreon. All right, why don't we do some quick NBA playoff picks, and then, well, this will be sort of a mini, like, halfway between a full episode and a mini episode.
The problem with NBA playoff picks is we're recording this on Thursday before any of Game 82s have happened.
Wednesday. This is Wednesday today.
Excuse me. Yeah, but it's
before Game 82s have happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's still a lot of. First of all, we don't even know for sure whether Miami, Indy, or Chicago is going to make the last two playoff spots in the East. Although it's almost certainly not going to be Miami, and we don't know the exact seeding, so we don't know the first round matchups. But
yeah.
Nevertheless,
I know nobody cares, but in fantasy basketball, I had like one of the most dominant teams, probably on like the entire ESPN site. You know, I consistently, you go up eight categories every week. I consistently beat people 8-0, 7-1 all year. And then I go up against Russell Westbrook in the finals. And Russell Westbrook in our matchup has the most points, rebounds, assists, steals, free throw percentages, like, you know, he's like 98 for 100. Field goal percentage is like 55, so he single-handedly beat me. He's like having two Giannis's.
Also dumb, the last 2 weeks of the season when half the teams aren't trying and arresting their players, including teams like Brooklyn.
Well, that's why the League sort of like figured out a way around that. We did a good job there.
Well, if you're going to bring up fantasy leagues, at least mention when somebody's interested. In the League of Leagues, who's in first place in baseball through 2 weeks?
Oh, I don't know. Nobody cares about first place in the first 2 weeks of baseball.
Right here. I've never played fantasy baseball before.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, well, it's Josh Kanner, my co-owner, who I have to give credit to, really. But, yeah, and we're riding a lot of twins. We got Miguel Sano, who's raking. Twins are the best record in the AL.
I assume you don't have Buxton if you're in first place.
Nah, we do not have Buxton. Yeah, although he's been great defensively, yeah, but he's putting up like a...
Defensively. How like that helps our your like fielding like, percentage
his
metric.
His OPS is lower than my IQ. Lower than the IQ of my the guy I attacked with a punch to the skull, so... Yeah.
Jeez, I'm still not over that story. That's crazy. Did you tell your wife? I feel like you gotta like spruce that story up, make yourself like a hero.
Yeah, so my wife was like of two minds, because on the one hand she was like, she, you know, she, clearly I was the one in the right protecting our child. On the other hand, why am I engaging with these people, was sort of her attitude. I mean, you've heard other
you
stories.
You didn't engage.
You've
he pushed, like...
Yeah, but you've heard other stories. My wife always blames me with when it's me against a crazy person, like on the subway or whatever. My wife is always...
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you don't. You never know who's gonna have a knife and try and stab you. Is my
it's true. It's true. Although you assume they would have led with the knife, but yeah, I agree.
Instead of the lamp, you're saying.
Instead of the push, even. All right, so let's do Western Conference first, because that has actually been decided, you know, other than who's 4 and who's 5. It doesn't matter, really.
Sure.
So, Warriors-Blazers, is there any chance the Blazers win a game?
Yeah, I guess if Dame Leonard and CJ McCollum combine for 60 points, they can win a game, but it's highly unlikely.
Right. Yeah, if they played this series 100 times, I think the Warriors win all 100.
Yeah, you know, all the Warriors want is, you know, for Kevin Durant to get back to 100% as quickly as possible, obviously. But they dealt with this with Steph Curry in the first round of the playoffs last year.
Yeah. Right?
So, yeah. Obviously, Warriors in 4.
Spurs-Grizzlies, the two best defensive teams in the league.
Yeah, same thing. The Grizzlies...
I guess other than the Jazz.
A little late collapse. You know, they were like 5 just, you know, in like around the All-Star break, and now they're down at 7, which is a big difference because I feel, you know, if they were at 5, they could have beaten a Utah or a Clippers or something like that, but they're not beating the Spurs. But these teams have some history in the playoffs. I'll say Spurs in 5.
Yeah, I have Spurs in 6, but, you know, the Grizzlies are... They're not. Spurs aren't like a blow... teams out this year type of team as much as they've been in the past. I mean, their point differential 7.3, which is fine, but lower than I believe it was
last
year. Are we
talking about NBA awards at all or no?
Oh, we'll just talk about MVP after this.
Okay.
We could each give our MVP. I've been thinking about it a lot. Houston versus OKC. I mean, it's going to be a cool series, Harden-Westbrook, but actually, I think their numbers will go down because like Westbrook stats don't really matter as much in the postseason. You know, especially
he's
like rebounds and assists
all season, clearly.
Right. And by the way, so is Harden. I think I you know, he might score more points, especially if they're getting killed. He might just put up like a 60-point playoff game. But I'd say Rockets in 5. What do you think?
Yeah, I say 5 as well.
And Clippers Jazz, we don't know if it's going to be you know, who's the 4, who's the 5 at this point.
Yeah.
To me, I like the Clippers either way. They're pretty similar. I mean, they're pretty evenly matched teams, but
yeah, I'm going to pick the Jazz either way. So
I think that series goes 7. I have the Clippers in 7.
Yeah. So I'm going to say the Jazz. But does it matter? Golden State's beating either one of those teams in the second round.
Yeah, right. It's fool's gold.
All right. San Antonio-Houston could be interesting, right? Houston jacking up 63s a game.
Yeah, San Antonio-Houston, I think, will go 6 or 7. Every game they played this year was like a two point game. You know, the Spurs bench is probably, you know, the thing is that the Houston's bench is really good also. I mean, that Lou Williams ad was such a big deal. I don't know. The teams that have the tools to hit the Spurs, are the bigger teams. I don't know. I think Kawhi could maybe shut down Harden enough that I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I would say the Spurs in 7. What do you think?
Yeah, here's the thing. It would not be surprising at all if Houston wins.
No, not at all. And one of these teams could easily win in 5 if just every coin toss goes their way.
Yeah. So I'm going to say Spurs in 6, but I would not be surprised if Houston wins.
Every game they played was so close.
It depends on their shooting.
Yeah, I mean, Kawhi, you know, they played a playoff-like game a few weeks ago, and the Rockets are up 1. Kawhi drills like a 3 with Nene in his face, and then blocks Harden on the other end.
That was the start of the week of like Kawhi MVP conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And really, Westbrook probably ended it by. We'll talk about who should win it, but Westbrook is going to win it. I think we both agree on that.
Which is surprising because 2-3 weeks ago, Harden was going to win and it wasn't close.
Right. I think the triple double. I think the 50-point triple doubles, especially that last one, really cemented it.
Well, yeah, that game winning 3 in Denver when most of the Denver crowd cheered also.
And we both. I think the Warriors sweep the Clippers.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If it's the Jazz. Well, yeah, because the Warriors.
Also, the Clippers are the type of team, they go down 2-0. They could easily fall apart and then
but
maybe
also,
like.
But the Warriors have owned the Clippers for a couple of years. Now, I think it's going to be the Jazz in that spot. The Jazz obviously can sort of offer a couple different looks. Rudy Gobert, a lot of people think, might be Defense Player of the Year, although Draymond might be as well. So we might have, you know, them matching up here in the second round. But the Warriors are going to win. I agree. Warriors are going to win.
to me, so Spurs Warriors, you also have Spurs Warriors. I just think the Spurs are, because they're old, especially the point guard position, they're just going to run out of steam as the playoffs go on. I felt LaMarcus ran out of steam at the end of the second round last year. You know, he doesn't have as much playoff experience.
He's been so bad all year. Shouldn't he have some kind of second burst for the playoffs? I mean, he's been terrible.
Well, he's played a lot of minutes. By the way, my biggest pet peeve in all of basketball are big men who, like, don't get rebounds. And LaMarcus is not real. He's not that type of guy. It's not like he's not as bad as Horford. He's not. I mean, Brook Lopez is the worst ever. Obviously, you know, he's like the ultimate example. Porzingis is really bad too, honestly.
Yeah, but he plays a lot on the perimeter.
There's no such thing as like a big man who can't rebound who's a good player.
Hot take.
In history, has there ever been a big man who's a bad rebounder who's also like a, you know, like a top five guy?
Yeah, I don't think so. Top five guy, but you know, there's all star type guys.
Marc
Gasol's an all star. Brook Lopez.
No, but Gasol's not as bad of a rebounder as the other.
But he's never averaged double digits, I don't think.
Yeah, that's not great. But he also always played with a guy who was, like, grabbing all the loose boards, Randolph.
Yeah.
So I have the Warriors over the Spurs in five. And if it's the Rockets, they'd also beat them in five, I think.
Yeah, probably.
All right, so let's go to the East. I think, let's assume the Bulls are playing, I believe, the Nets tonight, who are resting guys who aren't even injured. Not quite sure why.
It makes no
Again,
sense.
They don't have their own draft pick. So Celtics-Bulls, I think the Celtics beat them in five. Bulls are, you know, what's weird is the Bulls, you know, probably have the best player on the court. But
are the Bulls the most hated team, though?
I think it's hard to hate almost anybody in the East other than the Cavs because...
But everybody hates the Bulls. The Bulls fans hate the Bulls.
Yeah, the Bulls fans definitely hate the Bulls, and the other teams kind of hate the Bulls, but I don't think America hates them because I think you have to, like, the eighth seed in the East, you should be indifferent.
You don't
to.
Think there's any chance that Rondo can sort of turn it on, all you know, the way he.
Yeah, of course, there's a chance. I mean, listen, the Celtics are not your typical one
Celtics
seed. Their point differential is 2.5.
Yeah.
That's much worse than the Thunder's point differential. And Thunder stink.
Even the Timberwolves are like -1.1, I think.
Actually, it's worse than the Jazz. Sorry, it's better than the Thunder.
Yeah, but the Timberwolves are closer to the Boston Celtics than the Celtics are.
Oh, yes.
Like, the fourth team in the West.
Totally. That is, in fact, they're identical to the Rockets.
Yeah.
Okay,
and the Rockets,
so yeah.
By the way, have had nothing to play for 2 weeks because they've been locked into the three seed.
Yeah, and the Spurs, too. The worst thing would happen to the Spurs if the Warriors had lost a couple games and the Spurs tried to chase the Warriors down for that one seed. All right, Cavs Pacers. I think that's a pretty good matchup for the Cavs, even though they're struggling.
Yeah, and again,
that's not a good team.
Even if somehow Miami sneaks into one of these spots, it doesn't really matter. Either way, if Boston can't beat whoever you know they're playing,
well, Miami can only sneak into the eighth spot, and they can only get there if the Bulls lose to the Nets, who are playing like four guys tonight.
I think if the Pacers lose and Miami wins, they could make it that.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah,
but they do not control their own destiny.
Boston better win. I could see them losing, but they better win. Cleveland will win in five at the worst, probably four.
Yeah. So if it's Toronto, Milwaukee,
playoff LeBron, as we saw last year and the year before, is totally different than regular season LeBron.
Yeah. Toronto, Milwaukee. I think that's an interesting series. Like, yeah. I'd love to see Giannis really break out.
Yeah.
Toronto again, the Bucks missing so like bad. Such a key player.
Toronto was so abysmal in the playoffs last year. Both of their guards, you know, Lowry and DeRozan, were so terrible.
Yeah.
Jonas Valanciunas was their best player actually in the playoffs.
Yeah, Jonas like that. People are like really high on Jonas, and then by the way, another big man who cannot rebound. And he's really big, I like Toronto in that series in
Look at
six.
His playoff numbers before he got injured last year. I think he was averaging like 16 and 11 or something. He was
playing
like an
he was great. He was really great. So I have Toronto in that. You have Toronto also, right?
Yeah.
And I think Washington's been really, they're a solid team. I think they blow the doors off the Hawks.
Yeah, I mean, Washington obviously has not been, you know, themselves, not been since the All-Star break what they were in January.
But that's a legitimate team. That's like, they're a playoff team in the West. Like, the Wall, Beal, Bojan, you know, Morris lineup with Gortat. Gortat's been terrible recently. Yeah. But
Gortat's another guy who usually is better in the playoffs than the regular.
Yeah, I think Gortat will come to play. But, I mean, he's basically been out of the rotation the last few weeks.
Yeah. I can't imagine... Well, that's not true. I can certainly imagine Washington losing the series, but nobody wants to see Atlanta, obviously. So we're going to hope Washington.
No, nobody wants to see them. By the way, so my question is like Toronto, Milwaukee, Washington, Atlanta. Can those games be simulcast on NBA TV at the same time?
Yeah. Well, nobody want like nationally. There's very little buzz for Toronto Milwaukee, but I think like basketball fans would enjoy that series.
Sure, yeah, just like the young players alone, like Washington Atlanta. Like yes, John Wall is like ostensibly sort of a star, but Atlanta, like you know, Schroeder and Millsap
Atlanta
aren't selling tickets.
Atlanta always is an NBA TV. It's the rule.
Yeah, and Atlanta is always irrelevant.
Yeah. All right. By the way, so Washington Boston in the second round, that'll be a great series. The Washington has to wear black the whole series.
Yeah, I actually think Washington can win that series. I'm actually going to pick the Wizards in seven.
I think they can. I kind of want them to. Honestly, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Cleveland is coming out of the East, so it doesn't.
Yeah,
matter.
I think Washington wins that, and I think Cleveland beats Toronto in six.
Six. Okay.
Yeah, but to be fair, I think Toronto and Washington can both beat Cleveland. Like, they beat them three times out of ten.
I think Toronto is the toughest matchup for Cleveland. I think if that goes six, I think Cleveland beats Boston or Washington in the conference finals in five or even four.
Mm-hmm.
Again, LeBron is a completely different person in the playoffs.
Yeah, but he also runs out of steam sometimes. I mean, he definitely ran out of steam in 2014 in the finals. He definitely did not last year.
Yeah. Yeah, or the year before. So we're going to have a third year in a row of Golden State.
Yeah, third year in a row, but I think the Warriors sweep the Cavs, which I believe I said the beginning of the season or very early in the season.
Yeah, well, there's no logical reason to expect anything else, but that was also true last year, right?
But they added Kevin Durant. Like, they added, you know,
yeah,
like the third best guy in
the
NBA. Yeah,
they were one of the top two or three teams in NBA history last year, even without Kevin Durant.
I know, but their team is literally better this year.
Yes, agreed.
And the Cavs' defense is atrocious.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith is so lost on defense.
All these things were true last year.
Like, J.R. Smith is going to have to guard Klay Thompson or, you know, or Durant in, like, key playoff minutes. That's insane.
Yeah. It's impossible to see Golden State not winning, but obviously I'll be rooting for Cleveland.
Yeah, so you have a sweep or no?
No, that's
Warriors in five
to LeBron. No, LeBron will never get swept in a five. Well, I mean, I know the Spurs did when he was literally 22 years old or 21 years old.
How much will LeBron whine if they lose in the conference finals?
They lose the conference finals?
If they lose to like Toronto or Washington or Boston,
that would be embarrassing.
What would he do though? Would he like leave again?
No, he's not going to leave. Where's he going to go?
Would he like fire the GM? Would he?
I don't know. I mean, it's not going
to
happen.
The fact that they're trying to like make Larry Sanders a thing should be very nerve-wracking if you're a Cavs fan.
No, they just cut him.
Oh, they cut Larry Sanders?
They cut him yesterday to open up a roster.
Oh, no, they signed Dante Jones. I missed that part of the transaction.
LeBron getting the whole band back together.
Yeah. There's got to be guys in the D-League better than Larry Sanders or Dante Jones. Daniel Hamilton from UConn is a triple-double machine.
There's a guy in my fantasy football league, Diskin, who drafts, you know, everybody 5 years after they're good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what LeBron as GM is. He's like, oh, yeah, Larry Sanders, he was good a few years ago. You know, right. Andrew Bogut, he was good a few years right. ago.
Yeah, he blocked my shot in 2008.
Yeah.
All right. So let's end this this pod by crowning the winner of the greatest American athlete of all time. And listen, LeBron wins the title this year. He really moves up the list. I think we both agree on that.
He already made the Elite Eight, lost to Michael
Jordan. Yeah, if he could win the title against this Warriors team, and that would be, what, title number four? You know, he's really moving up into rarefied air.
Yeah, well, he's already in rarefied air, but he went up against Michael Jordan, which is literally the worst matchup for him because it's the exact same sport. It's, you know, LeBron has a better chance of beating Jim Thorpe than he does of beating Michael Jordan.
Sure.
Right now, anyways. Yeah, if he keeps winning titles, obviously that'll have to change. So you put up a Twitter poll for Babe Ruth?
I put a poll, but that will just be to be the tiebreaker, or they could go first, but we'll...
You just put this up, so I don't know how many votes you got so far.
I mean, it's a big enough blowout that it's not the outcome's not going to change.
Okay. Oh, it's a blowout.
Yes.
I'm going to assume Jordan blew up Babe Ruth.
Yes, but I'm voting for Babe Ruth because there will be another Jordan. There will never be another guy who hits like, you know, 800% more home runs than everyone and also is an all-star pitcher. So
yeah, I'm not in front of a computer right now. By memory, I think Babe Ruth's career OPS plus is .212. Do you want to Google that and confirm that for me?
Okay, but talk while I do that.
All right, yeah, so .212, that means that he is 112% better than the average hitter during his era. I mean, that's bonkers. That would be Michael Jordan, you know, averaging, 60 points a game or something. Or, well, no, I don't know what it would. That's actually a terrible stat. But
it's 206,
I think the average PER is 15, so that would be Jordan's, I don't know. The numbers don't exactly go up. But the point is, Babe Ruth is so much better than everybody else.
Yeah, he's 206. The only, no one's in 200. Ted Williams, 190. Bonds, 82.
And what's Babe at again?
He's at 206.
206. Oh, duh, duh. So I exaggerated. 206. Fine, but he's literally more than twice as good as any other.
What's amazing player. Is Mike Trout is 170. He's in the top 10 all time.
Yeah, which is crazy. But also, Mike Trout hasn't had his decline years yet.
Right? You know, and Dan Brothers with a U is even ahead of Trout, which is amazing, but people forget.
Dan
he had over 100 home runs, but people forget about him because he only had five at-bats in the 20th century. His last year was essentially 1896.
I was on this. I'm a subscriber to this website, and it's 19th Century Baseball website, where you have like those vociferous arguments with massive nerds like yourself.
You are a subscriber to this site?
Yeah, I get like an...
Do you have to pay for a subscription?
No, I wouldn't do that. But one thing that annoys me is... So Dan Brothers, one of the greatest players of the 19th century. I argue that Cap Anson was the best player of the 19th century because he played 27 years, the first baseman for the Cubs. I have him as the number four first baseman of all time also.
Okay.
One thing that annoys me is when people say Cy Young was the greatest pitcher of the 19th century because his career was like 1890 to 1911. So he doesn't qualify. Didn't play his whole career in the 19th century. Anyway, so to me, Babe Ruth is so much better. But again, Babe Ruth's competition, right? He's playing a bunch of slow white guys born in, you know, Ireland or whatever. So it's hard to say. Also, Babe Ruth is not the consensus greatest player when people rank in his sport necessarily. There's people who make arguments for Willie Mays. People who make arguments for Barry Bonds even. Whereas everybody says, that, you know, we discussed this when we did our basketball rankings last summer. Every single person who has a rankings has Michael Jordan number one all time. With the exception of our guest, Jared Jerome, who came out a couple weeks
ago. So anyway, I have Ruth. So if you pick Ruth, then Ruth wins. But if you don't, then we have to go to the fans.
Yeah, I don't like the pressure being on me. I really don't know. Can I not vote here? Can I just leave no vote?
No, you have to vote.
Well, you're giving one vote for Ruth. And what's the vote of our fans?
I'm not telling you. Don't check.
Well, it doesn't matter because unless it's 100% for Jordan, even if it's like 80-20, that means that Ruth would win 1.2 to 0.8, right? Or 120 to 80.
No, the fans have one vote. It's whoever wins. It's not coefficient.
So it's 50.1 to 49.9. It's winner take all?
Yeah, it's winner take all. Do you want to leave it up to the fans and vote for Jordan?
I like your argument. We will see another Michael Jordan, right? LeBron may have supplanted Jordan. It just, what does it say about American athletics if the greatest American athlete of all time is a guy who died 75 years ago, like a 240-pound, you know, beer-drinking guy who never had to play against elite competition, you know, because of racism and you know, lack of, you know, international travel. And I don't know. Baseball also is like such a less athletic sport. I'm abstaining.
You can't abstain.
Too much pressure. All right, fine. I'll vote for Jordan.
All right, so we're leaving it up to the fans. There have been 45 votes so far, but I'm confident it won't change, even though there'll probably be twice as many votes by the time this is over.
Yeah, last week we had like 100 plus votes.
So anyway, with 78% of the vote, the winner and greatest American athlete of all time is his Airness himself, Michael Jordan.
Very, very emotional tournament this has been.
Yes, and I wish we could like tweet at MJ, but he's not on Twitter. How many followers would MJ have if he was on Twitter?
I'd say maybe only like 2 million.
I feel like he's only not on because it would be embarrassing for him to have like less than 50 million, but he probably would have less than 50 million.
Oh, I said 2 million. Remember, to people under the age of 20, he's like a meme of a guy who cries.
Nah, but he's also the shoes. The shoes, I feel like, are a really big deal.
But they don't even know it's like, you know, all those other guys who have shoes named after.
All he'd have to do is like give away a pair of shoes every week on his account and he'd have 50 million.
And also the millennials, they're not on Twitter, aren't they? Aren't they done with Twitter? They're on a Snapchat or whatever.
That's true. But Snapchat's kind of dying. Like Instagram Live and Instagram Stories taking over.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not really dying. Like my little sisters who are like in high school live on Snapchat.
Yeah.
But it's, I think long term, you know, you're selling Snapchat, not buying it.
But you're also selling Twitter long term, right?
No,
Robert's trying to come up with your 139 characters.
Hold on, you're not selling Twitter. Like Twitter is a penny stock at this point.
You're not buying it. It's either buy or sell.
No, it's you're nothing it. You're like ignoring it.
Yeah. All right. So this was a podcast.
Yeah. Hopefully it is listenable. You know, audio wise, I'm sure content wise it's not. But
so you're a pacer, right?
Oh, a big pacer. Yeah.
So I'm in this hotel. I went into some random conference room.
By the way, how would you go to a hotel? Like the first question we're going to away this summer. First question I asked was like, how's the Wi-Fi in the hotel? I would never have stayed, especially since you have to work a little bit. I would never have stayed at a hotel where the Wi-Fi is not good.
Yeah, everywhere else we've been on this 3-week vacation, the Wi-Fi has been great so far. The Wi-Fi here, very poor. But they're playing, like, klezmer music in the lobby of the hotel right now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and so I didn't want that in the background. And then my wife and kids are sleeping in our
room. I'd rather someone attack me with a lamp.
Yeah. So I came, I'm in some random conference room, and I've literally just been walking in a circle around, like, the old conference table while talking to you. I've probably walked around the table.
All right, you're walking off all that matzo weight.
150 times. Well, I mean,
that's
it's
good.
An entire revolution is like 30 feet max, so I'm not walking that far. But
okay.
All right, Akiva.
This was fun. Next week, we have no plan. In 2 weeks, we're going to do the NFL draft.
Wait, next week, we're going to be live, I thought, again.
No, next week, we're going to be live. Yeah, I don't know what we're going to be talking about, but we will be live in person again. I don't know. We'll see. The audio was not fantastic on the live episode.
Well, because we also went to like a very hip, crowded restaurant with like
right, we went, that was playing music. That's true.
We could be live in a quieter setting.
Yeah, we could literally like do it on the street. It would be quieter.
Yeah, I thought we're gonna have some live listeners at the next.
Yeah, maybe we'll invite the listeners probably next week. All right, we could talk about that off air.
All right, okay. So I will see you literally next week. Enjoy the rest of your Passover. Don't eat too much matzah.
Right back at you.
And don't punch anybody in the skull with your bare fist.
Unless they attack my kids.
Yeah.
All right.
But I'm still, again, half a star. Half a star is my rating for my review for punching
next
someone.
Time, just kick him in the ball. Kick him in the balls next time.
That's. Have you ever been kicked in the balls, Akiva?
Yeah, by my kids, like, every day, but not, like, as hard as they can.
But you never, like, it happened to me once in ninth grade.
You never, like, and accidentally, like, someone never, like, knocked into you?
Oh, I've taken those accidents, but I'm saying once in ninth grade, somebody would pretend to harm, kick me in the balls.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, women like to complain about childbirth. Like, please, grow a pair of testicles and get kicked in them.
It's much worse. Oh, yeah, everyone knows it's worse. Yeah. Yeah. Plus, you didn't have the option of a C-section for your groin. Like, they have the option of a C-section for their groin.
Yeah, nobody gives you an epidural before you get kicked with the balls.
Totally. No.
All right, we're going to offend our last 4 female listeners at this point.
Nah, there are none. All right, no. Bye.
Bye.
Gotta keep fighting, wrestling the pan every time that I'm writing. Every dollar in my pocket was earned by being righteous. If you never been through a struggle, then we have no likeness. I don't ever hype shit, tell it how it is, miss. Lost family and friends to this shady ass business. Everything I'm drinking on the rocks, I don't mix shit. Mama taught me if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Used to care what people think, I'm just living my life. Excuse me, I get loose when I'm sipping this wine. There's always been something that made me feel different inside. I used to run from it, now I'm just embracing the ride. Started losing my family, started losing my grip. Now I'm making more than my teachers told me to quit. Used to rock a couple shirts with some dirty ass kicks. Now I don't even pack bags when I'm going on trips.
Race right to the top and they there and they killing it and they got millions of dollars, millions of this, millions of that, whatever the fuck it is, stats. But at the end of the day, man, when that wave is out, no one gives a fuck. You might have money financially to continue your life, but you're not gonna go down, you're not gonna die a fucking